Amen. So good to have each one of you in the house of the Lord. This is the last Sunday of the year. Amen. I think it's always a good way to end up the year. It's always a great way to start off a year in the house of God. Amen. I only have one announcement this morning for you, and that's we're going to go ahead and cancel Wednesday night service this week. Treve and I didn't get to go to see our sons. I'm on Christmas, so we're going to head up there on New Year's, and so we'll probably be leaving Wednesday as soon as she gets off work. So just enjoy your families, and we'll see you. We will have Tuesday morning prayer. We will have Saturday night prayer, and then we'll see you Sunday. So if you can make any one of those services, you'll be blessed. Amen. If you have an offering, make sure that you can either give online or you can give, put it in the box in the back. And we can still collect for Convoy of Hope. If you haven't given to Convoy of Hope, we had about $1,300 come in last week. So if you'd like to give more to that, it's a great ministry. It blesses people all over the world. They help feed people and take care of people. They were like the first ones in Haiti. You may have thought it was someone else, Red Cross or someone else, but actually it was Convoy of Hope was the first one when Haiti had all their disasters. Convoy of Help was there giving waters, giving food. Great ministry of the Assemblies of God. You can have a part of that. It's great soil to put your seed into. So, amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 37. Psalms 37, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. And I titled this, I tried to come up with something catchier, and I had a few other titles, but this just kept coming to my mind, Godly Advice from Your Pastor. Godly Advice from Your Pastor. So Psalms 37, and many of you have heard me preach on this portion of Scripture before. He says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from your anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, and those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, it shall be no more." Verse 11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Father God, we just come before you today, thankful, Lord, to be in your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. God, I pray that you would dispense from your bounty the goodness of you, Lord, so that each and every one would be filled, Lord, with you today as we leave this place. Lord, let us know that we've been in your presence. Let us know, Lord, that we have delighted ourselves in you and that we have eaten from your hand today, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that you would minister to each person. I pray, Lord, that all the fears, anxiety of this season would cease today. And Father, Lord, that we would feel your powerful presence, your courage, in this place. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. As I was thinking and praying about this service, I thought, how would I label 2020? And I came up with the label, the year of anxiety. The year of anxiety. It's been a rough year for most. You know, sometimes we think it's been a rough world or rough year for America. It hasn't been a rough year for America. It's been a rough year for the world. I mean, the world has dealt with what we have dealt with. And so, but that does not mean that God is not faithful. God is still faithful in the difficult times. So I said the year of anxiety, and I was talking to a friend, texting a friend back and forth, and she said this, 2020 is the year the devil showed his hand. Can you believe that? The year the devil showed his hand, hearts got revealed, and mask came off in many ways. This wasn't a year of being able to fake it till we make it. And I thought, my goodness, I like that. I do think that in the difficult year that we have seen the true church arise, the ecclesia, I think we have seen ourselves sleeping in Zion. And we have realized we've got to wake up. There's an enemy out there fighting us. And it has taken great courage, I think, to continue to trust God. And that's why I wanted to read these verses on trusting the Lord. You know, James 1 verse 3, he said, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. And that's what I believe 2020 has been. I believe 2020 has been a year when our faith has been tested. Will I trust God or will I shrink back? Will I go into a cave and hide or something? He says, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Do you realize that's what the Lord wants to do in your life? He wants you to be able to trust Him and to believe for whatever you need in Him so that you lack nothing. This scripture says, do not fret because of evildoers. When you see ungodly people prospering, don't let it bother you. The Bible says there is a day coming when they will get their reward for the way they're living. I know when I was a teenager, we used to have this saying that said, Nunya, right? Somebody asked you a question, Nunya. What's that mean? Nunya business. Well, this is Nunya business. You know, if you see the ungodly beginning to prosper, it's Nunya. It's Nunya business. Just leave it alone, but definitely don't fret about it. Definitely don't get in anxiety about it. We have to trust the Lord. Webster said to fret is to gnaw. I think that's pretty good, don't you? To gnaw. You know what that means? How many have ever felt their stomach feel like it's just being gnawed on? I mean, it's just like, oh, there's so much anxiety. You knew you better not get too far from a bathroom because it's messing with you. To wear away, to rub, to make, or to become rough or disturbed, to irritate and worry. What should we do then? Folks, how should we handle? I'd love to tell you 2020 is over in 5 days, bless God, right? And that's the truth. But that doesn't mean that the things that we have gone through are going to stop. There's not a magical moment where 2020 just stops and a whole new year appears and all your old problems are gone and this is on to bigger and better things. You know, quite honestly, it doesn't look like it's going to stop. Coronavirus doesn't look like it's going to stop for a while. I mean, there's a lot of people afraid right now. There's a lot of people walking in fear. You know, one of the reasons, if you notice, the chairs look a little different. It's because I put every chair out. I've had about 60 chairs put back, but I put them all out because I wanted you to see in our services, we are less than 25% full. You can be safe in the house of God. There, we have got to wise up. You know, the government says it's okay for the casinos to be open, but churches need to close. It's okay for strip joints and bars to be open, but churches don't need to be open. Folks, does that not sound like the devil to you? Good night. Come on. I've got more sense than that, right? So you're safer in the house of God, I believe, than any place else. Psalms 11, verse 1 through 3. He says this, David says this, in the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountains? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And then verse 4, the very first part of verse 4 says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Guys, I got news for you. Satan has got the bow string. The arrow is on the bow, and many of them have been shot, right? I mean, this has been a year when you better have your shield of faith up, because those arrows have been coming regularly at the saints of God. I just feel like it's a constant where we're fighting a battle. We're knocking those arrows so that they don't hit our heart or our mind. Both of them will take you out. And this scripture says, what are we to do? What are we to do when our foundations are being shaken? And that is what 2020 has been. 2020 has been a year when the devil has shaken our foundation. I'm telling you, when he gets churches to close, our foundation is being shaken. He first went for the family. He began to shake the family. He's been doing that for 50, 60 years. And now he's shaking the church. Now he's shaking government. Government is being shaken, right? Our world as we know it is being shaken by the devil. What are the righteous to do? I like the last part of that verse. The Lord is in his holy temple. Wherever he's at is where I want to be, because there's safety when I'm with him. In Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 9 through 12, Nehemiah is replying to a letter that Sanballat, which was his enemy, sent to him. So that's sort of the conversation, the context of what's happening. It says this, for they all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. This is the trick of the enemy, I believe, in 2020. I believe the enemy said, if I can just get them not to meet, I can pick them off one by one. If I can just get them scared, if I can just do this or that, I can stop the work of the Lord in the land. Their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. I got news for you, church. There's still a work to be done in our land. He says, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delilah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they're coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you. And I said, so should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin. I hope you're getting that. Because I don't believe there's a more relevant word to the body of Christ for this year than that portion of scripture right there. I loved it when Nehemiah knew his purpose. He knew God had called him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He knew that God had sent him on the way. He knew that God had provided everything he needed. But now the enemy of his soul saying, they're coming to kill you. Let's hide in the house of God. And Nehemiah, I think, entertained the thought for just a moment. And then he said these words, should such a man as I flee? See, I want you to begin to see who you are in Christ. I want you to see that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. That no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises up will be refuted. This is the heritage of the Lord. Do you understand that when God is in us, No weapon, no enemy can come against you. He'll try, but we are greater. We can defeat the works of the enemy if we will trust him, if we will understand who we are. Should such a man as I flee? Nehemiah, come to his senses. I'm not hiding out. Hasn't there been a moment in 2020 when you got sick of it? I'm just sick of the nonsense. Is there a virus? Yes. Is it killing people? Yes. Should I be afraid? No. I'm not going to fear a virus because I believe God can protect us. The scripture that I read to you was trusting the Lord. I think that we have two choices. We can either hide out, flee, come back, be scared, or else we can trust God and fret not. I choose the latter. I choose to trust God. This portion of scripture, I've taught it several times in my life, and I've taught it like steps. Hey, there's seven steps here to do this. Trust in the Lord and dwell in His land and do this and do that. And this week as I studied this, I began to see that's not seven steps, it's one step. The Word of God tells us to trust in the Lord. And then I think we all have this little question in our minds. How do we do that? How do we trust in the Lord? Am I doing that? Am I trusting Him or am I leaning to my own understanding? Am I trying to figure everything out? I'm guilty of that many times. I don't know about you. I will tell you this. Trust comes easier as your knowledge increases of who He is. See, when Treva and I first got married, I trusted her. But I didn't trust her then like I trust her today. Because I know her. Today, after almost 40 years of marriage, I know her. You know, I've never one time in our married life have ever worried about her being frivolous with her money. I trust her because I knew that she's very cautious in that area. I trust her. And that's the way, once we know Him, the more you know Him, the more you will trust Him. When your trust is thin, when your trust is little, it's because your knowledge of Him is little. And that's not to say shame on you. That's to say get to know Him. If the more you know, spend time in His Word, spend time in His presence. Because the more you know of Him, the more you're going to trust Him. The very first thing He says, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Philippians 4 says, think on these things. Right? Think on these things, the things that are pure and holy and lovely and of good report. Think on these things. My brother called me yesterday and he said, I've been trying to call you for about a day and a half. I haven't been able to get a hold of you. He said, what about that bombing in Nashville? I said, well, I just heard about it myself. He said, what do you mean you just heard about it? And I said, well, somebody just told me. He said, don't you watch the news? And I said, I really try not to. I have found that the news destroys the foundation of trust in God. It seems like they do it purposely. I don't know. I can't judge the motive of their heart. But it seems like it's purposeful. So I just know the more news I watch, the less trust in God I have. The more I concentrate on Him and dwell on His faithfulness. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I can promise you, I agree with David. God has been faithful to this guy. Things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, Scripture says this in the book of Hebrews. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The Word of God is still true. Hasn't changed. How many people believe the day of the Lord is approaching quickly? Then the word of the Lord to you would be, don't forsake the assembling. Now you can look around this room and know that a big part of our church has forsaken the assembling of themselves together. Now many of them are traveling. I get that. But how many people we haven't seen in 9 months because they're afraid. They can say all day long they're not afraid, but they're afraid. They're afraid to be in public. And if you listen to the news, I understand that. But we've got to trust something. I know many people are trusting in a vaccination. How silly is this? Many people are trusting in being 6 foot away from each other. Now, I believe in using common sense. I believe in doing the things that we know we're doing. I'm okay with masks. I wear a mask when I go into a business. I wear a mask. I'm not preaching against masks. I'm definitely not preaching against washing your hands. Please wash your hands. I mean, I think if we'd done that 50 years ago, we'd all be healthier, right? I'm just saying it's better to trust God than trust man. Folks, you realize how many times the rules have changed on the coronavirus? Do you realize how many times the Word of God has changed? Zero. Now, to me, it's not rocket science. I could either trust the smartest men in the world trying to come up with wise philosophy and wise advice, or I can trust the Word that the creator of those smart men has spoken to us. I choose to trust in God. He says this, trust in Him. To trust in God, dwell in His land. Keep your mind on His faithfulness. And then He says, delight yourself in the Lord. I believe all of this is building up to how do we trust Him. People have asked me before, Eric, how do you trust the Lord? And I'm going to tell you, I had a difficult time with that question. You know, it's sort of like, well, just trust Him. Well, how do I trust Him? Just trust Him. You know, I mean, that's a difficult question to answer. But then I got into the Word and I thought, this is how you trust Him. You dwell in His land. You dwell on His faithfulness. You think about His faithfulness. And you delight yourself in Him. That means you enjoy spending time with Him. You know, I wonder why our churches are not full. Because to many people, church is not enjoyable. Matter of fact, church is foolish. It just doesn't make sense. But it ought to make sense to you. It ought to be enjoyable to you. I worry about Christians who put a clock to my preaching every service. They keep me on a pretty tight schedule. Well, Pastor, you got 30 minutes, and you know I never make that. Really? You can sit down and watch a 2-hour ball game, but you have a hard time with an hour and a half service. Maybe we're not delighting ourselves. You know, I believe this. You get in, you get out of service what you put into it. I told the first service, I said, have you ever got so caught up in worship that you forgot you were standing among people? I have. I've been in services where there'd be 600 or 700 people. And when I get into that sweet spot of worship, it's like it's me and God and nobody else is there. You know, I believe that's what the Lord wants to do every service. Every service we get together, God wants it to be you and Him. Forget about all those people. I know people deal with this question. Well, people are watching me if I lift my hands. That's pride. People really are not watching you. People really don't care that much. You're really not that important. That's a trick of the enemy. The devil wants to make you think they're watching you, so you better settle down. Would we quit settling down? Let's just worship. Let's just worship in freedom. Let's worship in the Spirit. Delight yourself in the Lord. You know, in 2 Corinthians, there's this verse that said, whose mind the God of this age, the God of this age is not Jesus, the God of this age is Satan. The God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. If you know someone that's not a believer, don't be mad at them. The devil has them blinded. You know, many Christians, the devil has you blinded in certain areas of your life. Maybe that's why you don't trust him, because you just don't see the goodness of God. You don't see that he would do anything to help you. Delight yourself in the Lord. And then he says, commit your way to the Lord. He does not say commit your ways. He says commit your way. In other words, you have one life. We are not schizophrenic. We're not going off in thousand different directions. We have one way, and that one way needs to be the way of Jesus Christ. Commit your way. Father, I won't make every right decision, and neither will you. I'm still going to mess up. I'm still going to take the wrong path every once in a while. I'm still going to make, you know, a right when I should have made a left. And I'll hear that GPS saying, redirecting. Can you hear the Holy Spirit saying that once in a while? Redirecting. And I am thankful that the Holy Spirit redirects us when we take a wrong turn in life. But you need to realize it's Satan's job to try to blind you too. Satan wants to keep the blinders on so you don't see the truth of the Word of God. Because when you see the truth of the Word of God, it will set you free. I promise you. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. It does not say wait patiently on him. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. In other words, do what he tells you to do. Wait is not just resting, and waiting is not just laying down and like on a couch. You're not a couch potato. It's doing the things that God wants us to do. We're waiting on him. We're serving the cause of Christ. We're resting in him. But I do believe that there is a moment in the Christian's life today, especially more than ever before, when we need to turn off the noise of the world and we need to get still before God. And we need to hear what he's trying to say. Waiting or being still is a confident expectation that God will meet with us and speak with us. Give God a chance to speak. The last thing he says is stop being angry. Stop being frustrated. You know why we get frustrated? Because we're trying to control every situation. You know, if you don't try to control it, it's freeing. I mean, it's just like, thank you, Jesus. I'm not in control. He is. I don't control your life. He does. I am not your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that leads and guides my life is leading and guiding your life. That's why I don't come to you if I see you messing up or I see you doing something. I don't come to you all the time and say, hey, I saw you do this. You ought not do that. That's not my business. None of you. Right? That's the business of the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Spirit of the Lord says you need to talk to them, then I'll talk to them. But if the Lord doesn't direct me, I'm just going to put my nose where it doesn't belong. And lots of times it gets smacked around when you put your nose where it doesn't belong. I can testify to that. I used to have a friend in the Lord. It seemed like every time somebody got mad in church and quit the church, he felt like it was his and I business to go pay him a visit. Man, did we get beat up all the time. I finally thought, you know what? The Lord hadn't told me to do this, and I'm going to stop this nonsense. If the Lord directs me to do it, I'll do that. But if the Lord doesn't say, pay him a visit, you know, have you ever paid someone a visit that's angry? Man, they're just looking for someone to come and stand in front of them. And they will give you the peace of mind. The anger that they're mad at everybody else, they're going to take it out on you. No, thank you. I didn't sign up for that. You know what? You know, one time my spiritual father, he said, Eric, he said I was doing everything in the church. I mean, he was just running himself ragged. And he said he was cleaning the church and picking gum off the bottom of the pews. And the Lord spoke to him, and he says, will you serve me? And it sort of made him mad. He said, what do you mean, will I serve you? Do you not see everything that I'm doing? I'm leading worship. I'm teaching the youth. I'm doing this. I'm driving the van. I'm doing all these things. And the Lord spoke to him and said this, yeah, but I haven't asked you to do any of those things. You know, sometimes as Christians, we just think we're supposed to be busy for the Lord. No, it's not true. You're supposed to do what he tells you to do. I find that we do that to each other. Because see, if the Lord tells me to start a food ministry, I think everybody ought to be in that food ministry with me. And if you're not in the food ministry or the jail ministry that I'm doing, then you got to be wrong. But you know what? God called me to that ministry. He didn't call you to that ministry. See, if every one of us would do what God has called us to do, think about all the things that God could get accomplished. And think about how restful it would be if you were doing one thing and doing it well for the Lord. That would be restful, wouldn't it? Yeah, Lord, I'll do that thing. I'll do it if you ask me to do it. Stop being angry. Stop being frustrated. Sinners are going to sin. They're going to live opposite lives of you. Let's not be troubled over that. Let's just pray for them, right? Pray that God delivers them. The same light that set you free can set them free. But your frustration with them is not going to help. And then he says something, and he says it twice. And then Jesus repeats it on the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes. He says, for the meek will inherit the earth. And you have to wonder, what is meek? Because it's not a word that we use very much. But meekness is an attitude of humility towards God. It's an attitude of humility toward God and a gentleness toward men. Understanding that God is in control. It is strength and courage under control. And that's what the Lord wants for each one of you. He wants you to be meek and understand. He says, let the weak say, I am strong. You are strong in the Lord. Maybe not in your own ability, but in the Lord, you are strong. It says, the meek will inherit the earth. You know what that means? It means one day, Jesus is going to wipe this earth out. It's going to be destroyed by fire. He said he'd never destroy it with rain again. But this earth is going to be destroyed and God's going to recreate it. We're going to be in heaven when all that happens. But then after that, the Lord says, then you'll repopulate the earth. We're coming back to this earth. You realize that? Do you realize how these words are coming true? The meek will inherit the earth. That's our inheritance, is God's giving us this earth in perfection back. Because if you're like me, you're thinking, I don't want to come back to the earth. You know, I just want to live in heaven with Jesus all the time because there's perfection in heaven. Well, there's going to be perfection on the earth too, because the enemy will be tied up and bound for 1,000 years. We're coming back, folks. We're coming, the meek. Are you meek? Are you meek? Are you trusting God? Are you trying to figure this thing out? I've given up trying to figure it out. All I know to do is trust in Him. Lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct my path. I love the words of Nehemiah. Should a man like me flee? No. I hope that you're asking yourself that question. I hope you're saying, should a person that believes in Jesus, should I be afraid? No. I'm answering the question for you. No. You know what Job said? He said, the thing I feared the most came upon me. Fear is like a magnet. It attracts the things that we're afraid of. Guys, be wise. You hear me? Be wise. Wash your hands, wear your mask, do the things that we know to do. But let's walk in courage. Let's walk in faith that God has got us, that God is still in control in 2020 and in 2021. If we see that year come in, God's still in control. Amen. Would you stand with me?